Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saleh for Guidelines for Living.
Everyone admired his vast library. He had nearly 10,000 volumes. The man lived on a tiny pension. Then an enterprising librarian tried to trace down a book that had not been returned. In the house, there were books everywhere, she said. She found the missing library book. She also found an unbelievable number of other books, which had been borrowed without permission from various public and private libraries and bookstores, too. The librarian got her book back okay, and five trucks and three police vans carted the rest away to return books to their rightful owners. That is what you could call a rather extreme case of borrowing. But borrowing has become a real problem the world over. All libraries have difficulty in collecting their books back. Valuable books are not loaned to the public. Library restrictions are becoming harsher and harsher. But borrowing causes other problems in our economy. So many shopping carts and so many food items are borrowed from your neighborhood grocery shelves that there is a significant increase in food prices to pay for the loss. Many neighbors and friends have difficulty over borrowing, and their friendships are ruined. When you were younger, remember how irritated it made you when a younger member of your family borrowed a treasured possession of yours? Borrowing is usually a bad practice, one to be generally avoided. The psalmist says, "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously." In Exodus, when God is giving various laws and ordinances to his people, he instructed them, "If a man borrows anything of his neighbor, and it is injured or dies, the owner not being with it, he shall make full restitution." In Deuteronomy, God told his people, "For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised you, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you." It's interesting to note that God's chosen people, Israel, are still in the lending and not the borrowing business. Today, though, we strive to borrow far more than books and money. Some borrow righteousness, and there are several sources from which we borrow this. Some tend to borrow it from their families. They cling to the spirituality of moms and dads, not understanding God has no grandchildren. How often do you hear, "Well, my mother was a godly woman, or my dad was a godly man," and somehow we think because of that heritage, you too are godly. Your father's faith, or your mother's faith, will not help you when you stand before God, unless you have personally embraced that faith and made it your faith. Others attempt to make points with God through the right connection. They are the ones who attend church, belong to the right civic group, give to community causes, the ones who take a look at others in the neighborhood and say, "Boy, I'm better than most people here." Though they never really say it, they think, "Hey, God, write down all these good things I'm doing in your black book up there." That type of righteousness doesn't cut it with God. The Bible says that at the judgment, men and women will stand before Christ expecting to be recognized, and he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What a pathetic situation. How sad to end life with only tattered fragments of righteousness, all borrowed, which are not your own. Remember, Jesus said, "Who does the will of my Father will enter the kingdom of heaven."
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.